Recording in progress. Live on Facebook here. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another great edition of, well, I'd say Renegade Radio, but we are actually taking, as of this recording on Monday, April 1st, 2024. It's not an April Fool joke, as some people probably would think. Today and next Monday, we are taking a 2 week spring break because why not? I figured, we've been on it or pretty much on it for the last 3 months total, anyway. And I figured this would be a perfect time to get a lot of other things done that I've been wanting to get done and achieve some other things. But we will be back in, with the crew and everybody in 2 weeks. Monday, April 15th. And it might be live from the studio of where John Roberts is, or does his broadcasts, which I'm guessing it will be, because that's what we have planned. So should be a good time. Exclusive. Should be. Yes. Zoom on my timeline because maybe we'll get some people in here. Because it's new, it's going to be noon here pretty soon. And I normally don't do stuff at noon, but probably the show don't. Our normal time, the show starts at 6, 6 hours from now. But luckily, it's not so bad. It's a nice day outside, so it's like, it's nice today. It's you get that spring feeling of spring, which is always a good thing. So let me edit this post here. Hope you guys had a good Easter weekend. I know it's still technically was it what they call it, Easter Monday, I would say. Right now. Ooh, ducky. All right, let me save that. Let's see. So and yes, just bear with me here, everybody. Do. I'm gonna send it to friends. I'm gonna send it to. Radio. All right, everyone. All right. Well, Steve's already coming in here already. Hello there, hold on here.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on there, Steve? How you doing?
It's good. Just
I'm just getting the live all ready and set up here, so just bear with me for a couple seconds here. This is not doing yet. Not that time ever really mattered. It matters to me. Well, you got a pretty nice setup with there. Holy crap. Oh, yeah, you like buttons. Holy
Well.
Oh.
Renegade Radio.
Yeah, have you ever heard of us at all?
Not all, but I did go through some of your stuff. I had some fun interviews with I saw Jack O'Halloran and Henry Thomas and Butch Patrick and Eddie Deason. Eddie, my
That's
old
a
pal Eddie Deason. Hey, how you doing? Everybody good? Okay, good.
That guy needs to not have too much coffee or whatever, I tell you.
I know. He's great. He's a really good guy. He lived with his mom for a long time. I used to see him all the time in LA, and
Oh,
we had some
sure.
mutual friends and
Yeah, then he had something happen like not too long ago, a couple of years ago, where he like disappeared off the face of the earth for a little while. I
Yeah,
remember
him and I think he was hanging out with Richard Simmons.
that. Something, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I got to interview him a couple times. It was actually pretty good. He was fun. I don't mind sometimes paying for interviews if as long as they're not asking for too much money, because I know it sounds ridiculous to have to do that, but it's like sometimes it's like if you really want somebody on and they just need a little bit, that'll get their attention. I have no problem doing that. I'm just
Right.
not
Well, listen, it's nice to have nice to have names connected to your brand and things that you could say, hey, I've had Henry Thomas from E and Eddie Deason from Polar Express and
I mean, and you're right, because kind of like what we were talking about in our private messages or email, it's like I'm trying my best to get this branded as best as I can, but I don't have a big income, and I don't have a whole lot of money. Like, I have money, but I don't have a whole lot of money to where I can just splurge on advertising and whatever. I thought word of mouth would be the best type of advertising, but it's like I've been trying that for since 2008, and it's like I don't know.
I'm gonna see if I can find a water real quick. Hang on, I'm
Yeah, go
gonna.
right ahead. We're almost ready. I'm just getting everything all set up here while we're talking, so. Do. See here. Should be good there. Send the link to my crew as well, in case
You got a
anybody.
lot of people on your people. I had no idea. They all seem like they were like Harley Davidson, 80s rocking guys and wrestlers. And some people I had no idea who they were. So.
Hey, it's a mixed bag, man. I mean, I that's one thing that I'll never take for granted, regardless of however anything goes in the future. I am so happy with everything that I've ever been able to do, and this whole thing with Renegade Radio, is something that I never thought I'd ever even do as far as a podcast goes, because I didn't think people would care enough about, or at least a crew that I would put together would care enough to spend this much time with me and not get paid for it, It's that, boy, I might have to get a
Wait,
budget
I'm sorry.
and
Wait, I'm not getting paid for this. Wait, what?
pay. No, Eddie, you're not getting paid. You look like you're doing pretty well off yourself anyway. More buttons you need.
You would you'd think, but it's a struggle. It's a struggle.
Well, I got the live going on. I can, if you want. I mean, I don't know how well. I mean, you seem like a guy that knows a little bit about promotion, a little bit, and you kind of have a little bit of a, you have a big following, I would say, because of who you are and everything. I can send you the link here, the live link
Oh,
anyway.
send it. Yeah. Can I ask, what do I do? Would I just paste that on in my Facebook?
Yeah, you just share it. I did tag you, but sometimes, like depending on what settings you have on your profile, sometimes they don't, the settings don't want to work that well to share. You have to do it yourself rather than me.
All right.
Like, but I'll share it to you here. Hold on here. One second. Oh, get the wrong one here. This one right here. So then just pinned it to the top here. And then after you do that, then we should be good to go. I'm just gonna send it to you, just your Facebook profile.
Oh,
Just
okay. All right, let me get on there.
sure. And then we'll get going here. Because I really, I'm really excited about doing this interview with you. Because you're definitely somebody that I'm definitely on my list as far as, and it's a good list, by the way. That's, so when I say list, don't get triggered, because some people are like, oh, you're on my list or whatever. No, this is like Santa Claus's list. You've always been like a good person, and because of how much of a family guy you are and everything, it just I'm just tickled pink by just everything that I've seen of your work. I mean, it's just like, holy crap, this guy knows what he's doing, and the fact that you bring your kids, have your kids involved in all this, and they actually are interested in that.
Are you, by the way, are you, I see, are you like renegaderadio.net or what's that?
No, there's no website, unfortunately. It's just
Or like I'm just on Facebook to tag.
it's just Renegade Radio, whatever.
But there's a bunch of different Renegade radios, so that's why I'm trying to.
I can go figure that out here. Hold on, because like, let's see. It's basically
There's
the
Renegade
website that I want
Radio
people to go
National.
to. it's part of a group. Like I have two different Renegade Radio profiles, but the one that has the most members, we have over 6,000 people. And that was because it used to be a sell and swap page. I
Right.
converted it to a radio page. I guess I could link it to you here. That way it'll be better here for you. Because yeah, I mean it's one of those things where it's like I've never really thought about ever putting it together on a website because again I don't have a huge budget. I know websites probably don't cost that much, but I just don't know who I would have to maintain it. I suppose a crew member probably could do that, I suppose. All right, so there's a link to the I sent it to your Facebook again
Okay.
group anyway. It's just a group link for now. But we've done pretty good, like as far as like, you know, this first season here, or this, you know, well, these last couple seasons have been pretty wild, I'd say, as far as everything goes. Because, you know, it still tickles me pink that people would want to give a guy like, well, myself, and then you know, when I add the crew and get them involved, it's like, it feels good. It really does, you know.
Right.
So let's see. We'll go do one more thing here and then we should be good to go. I just want to make sure I have everything all set right. I'm going to share the link with my crew just in case they want to watch because I'm sure they were kind of curious about what's going on.
You're
I
like,
don't
who
always
is
have
that?
everybody involved with everything because, you know, most of the time, like, I have 3 days off a week for my normal job. And so I'm probably more free than all the members of my crew because they all work during the week and stuff and they all have, you know, jobs or they all have things that they do and whatever. So, okay. So that should be good with all that, I
And you
think.
can hear me okay?
Oh yeah.
Testing
You
one, two.
sound great. You got a good connection.
Hold on. Testing one, two, three. There it is.
Yeah. You sound really good. All right. Hey, what's up everybody? I'm going to start the interview right now. What's going on, everybody? Because we are live on Facebook here, you know, broadcasting this as well to whoever is up at 12 o'clock at the break of dawn, break of dawn, noon. It's normally early for me because I normally sleep in, you know, on, you know, certain Mondays or whatever, just because I work 4 days a week at my casino job, so I put in like
Yeah.
10-hour days or in 4 days or whatever. So I know that's nothing for a guy like you. You probably put in a lot more time than that, you know, doing the things that you do. But anyway, I want to say, well, first of all, happy April to everybody out there. I hope everybody's had a good Easter weekend. And you know, I know it's April. It's April 1st right now, and it is the day after Easter, but it's also considered an Easter Monday if you follow that whole Easter pattern. And it's also April Fool's Day. So to all you fools out there, happy April
Here
there.
we are. Here we
From one
are.
fool to another fool, welcome
I
to Renegade
know.
Radio. I am with a guy that I've been following, and I don't know how long we've been friends on Facebook. I don't really. I wish it was
37
like
minutes.
30. Yeah, that's right. We became best friends right then and there. Signed the deal there. No, but I've been following you for quite some time as far
I
as
know,
like.
and the restraining order is out. I said it hasn't gone through yet, but just at least 100 feet now. You've got to at least stay behind. So.
Oh, okay. Is that virtual feed or is that real life feed? Well, oh, the length of your hand,
Yes.
okay. But I remember, I don't know if it's just like if I like found you because of another person's post or whatever. Because I know you're friends with a lot of people that I'm friends with too.
Right.
But you know all these people that you know, obviously that I do. I just know them through the virtual world, but I don't ever met most of these people online because I live in northern Minnesota, and you lucky guy got to live in California. Now you live in New York and everything, so it's been kind of a whirlwind for you. But anyway, I want to introduce everybody to my good friend Steve. Now I'm guessing it's Zarnecki.
You, that's it. That's how I say it.
And so, what's with the C then? That really kind of threw me off at first. Is it like
Well,
something
as
or?
my dad used to joke around, the C is silent like the pee in milk. So you don't pronounce the P in milk, and I know that's what he used to say. I think it's just that's it's just silent. That's just the just how it is.
Is that like Polish or anything like that,
It is
or?
Pol it is Polish, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because we have some Polish people that live in my area too, and I'm just like Stanislavskis and Trzeszynskis and all these,
Yeah.
skis or whatever. So it's like, I don't know. It's kind of weird. And sometimes I'll meet somebody that has a kind of a funky last name, like what you got, and it's like, how do you pronounce it? And sometimes they have a T or they have a C or they have whatever. And it's just like, oh, I hope I'm not going to butcher your last name. But I figured it
I just
would
say
start
pronounce it Smith and you've got it easy. So.
next. Steve Smith, American dad, right? Anyway, I'm with Steve Czarnecki, and man, I tell you, your body of work is just unbelievable for everything that you do, and the videos that you put together, not just with your children, but just, just stuff that I feel like you and I are kind of like I probably can't do the editing that you do. I've tried before, in the past with old YouTube videos and stuff, and I kind of suck at it. I need a little more practice. But you seem to, I mean, man, you're making a living doing that, and then raising all your kids and having a family and all types of things. But you get to, man, you get to do a lot of cool things, and I'm very jealous of you. But I'm really honored to have you on the show,
Oh.
Mr. Steve Czarnecki. Welcome to
Yeah,
this Riding Radio
you could just
exclusive.
call me Steve.
Okay,
Yeah.
well. Welcome, Steve, to Renegade
Thanks.
Radio. This is
Thank you.
our exclusive because I don't have my crew with me, as you know, because we're on a
Is
2 week
it, and it's an
break.
exclusive because no one else will talk to me. So I think that's
Yeah, whatever, whatever. Did you just get done doing a Ghostbuster premiere of Frozen Empire? You lucky duck.
Well, my son did. My son was on the red carpet. Yeah, and he interviewed the cast a couple weeks ago in New York for the world premiere. Yeah, so that was fun.
Yeah.
So.
But I mean, like that, I'm just like that just tickles me how you're able to, you must just know the right people because of your line of work, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, I mean, I worked, as you mentioned, I was in Los Angeles for 20 years, so I mean. Built up a lot of connections with studios and networks and different people in the industry. So, over time you kind of build that trust and you get validated by people and they know your body of work, they know what you do. So there's a level of trust where vetted is the word some people use. You get vetted by these places. So it's through the years gained a lot of trust with a lot of big names and big studios and when it comes to when I need to do something or I want to be a part of something or ask if my kids can be a part of something, they know that it's going to be in good hands. And it's not going to be just anybody off the street asking that they've seen my body of work, they've seen my editing, they've seen the videos we've done. So there's a level of trust and a level of assurance that they're going to get quality and professional representation.
And with getting the kids involved, then you guarantee that it's a family entertainment type of thing. Like it's
Right.
family friendly. So.
Yeah, and that's what was fun. So I mean, the kids getting involved was something that so we have our family YouTube channel called On the Scene Adventures. So but years ago, I ran an entertainment website and web series called Beyond the Marquee
Yeah,
with some
heard that
really
one
good friends
too.
of mine, and it was always a dream I had even back since high school to like to have something where I could create some kind of entertainment entity and have all my friends work together on it. So that's where Beyond the Marquee kind of started. And while we were doing that, we would do red carpets, we'd do behind the scenes with celebrities and different people in Hollywood and kind of tell their stories and spotlight on things that were happening in and around Hollywood. And one of the moments was I'm a big Doctor Who fan, so I was watching Doctor Who with my young daughter at the time. She was 4, and we finished watching it, and my wife came in after the show was over and she said, "Well, Linda Lee, what did you think of Doctor Who?" And she's like, "Oh, mommy, it was great. So the Daleks came down and then they got into the TARDIS and then there was a big explosion and they went on the planet." And she just went off in this whole exposition of what happened with the episode. And my wife was like, "Hey, you need to record that. If not for anything else, at least just for like family home video stuff."
Sure.
So I sat her down. I said, "Okay, tell us about what happened in the episode." And she went off on it, and She did such a great job in her, her excitement and her expression of it. And I thought, yeah, you know what? I'm going to throw this on our Beyond the Marquee page because we have nobody reviewing Doctor Who, so this will just be a fun thing. I get to put my daughter out there. And then the head writer, executive producer of Doctor Who ended up seeing it. I think I probably tagged BBC Doctor Who and different people, and he saw it and he put it out on his Twitter page. It was Stephen Moffat at the time. Stephen Moffat put it out to his 400,000 people on Twitter, and then from there the BBC took it and the Nerdist took it and all these other people ran with it, and it became like a kind of a viral overnight thing. And before we know it, we were getting invites to the local Los Angeles Doctor Who convention, Gallifrey One. We got invited by the Nerdist, wanted her to bring her on to have her do Doctor Who things. The Nerdist sent us out to England for the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who. So that was how it kind of started, and we just started doing things with my oldest daughter. And then as we had three more kids, they slowly started, oh, well, look what this is what Linda Lee's doing. I want to do it. So everybody kind of has gotten their chance to be on camera and, do some kind of reporting. And Beyond the Marquee sort of kind of faded away. And it kind of turned into the kids doing everything. And it's been a lot of fun. And now my youngest child is nine, my son Chase. And now, he's the one who's kind of spearheading the channel, and he's sort of doing everything. And the other kids, they're just, as they're older, they're kind of busy with now high school and different extracurricular activities. So they kind of now pop in, and do what they can. So, yeah, and my wife and I get involved as well. And it's fun. It's fun to do all those kind of things.
Kind of goes beyond just recording your kids and for just a family video, because you seem like the type of dad that maybe back in the day, like you're talking about, like even before you were doing all this stuff, like you'd be the video cam dad. Like you get the big ass
Absolutely.
video camera, recording all the moments and everything.
Well, and that's what my dad that's what my dad did. My dad was the home movie guy, so he always had whether on film, or then it became on video, and he was always the video person. So we always had either slides that we watched from, things that he took, and then he would, loop up the film into the projector, and we'd watch old movies on the projector. Then it was, recording things on VHS and Betacam, and we'd watch those back. And so, of course, that kind of fed into who I became. And I was shooting weddings at 12, 13 years old for our friends and relatives. And then I got into in junior high school. I was doing on camera fun stuff. We had the morning announcements we would do at our junior high school,
Oh,
and then in
sure.
high school I ended up becoming involved with the video yearbook. So that kind of chronicled the various English and math and academics and sports and entertainment of our school, and we'd put that together into a hour long, basically like music video with some, sound bites and things that then we would turn around and package to the kids at the end of the year, which would kind of like be a video chronicle of your time of high school that year. So,
Sure.
yeah, so it was, that's it's always been, video has been part of me. I ended up getting a job at Blockbuster Video, my first producing job in radio. They called me Video Steve because they found me when I was at Blockbuster. I was doing video on the side, so I ended up doing video for the station. There was no real presence of, like doing video marketing at the time for like radio. So they started using some of the videos, and we kind of put them on the website and different things. So yeah, it's been fun. Video has always been part of who I am.
Well,
So.
that's what I was going to ask you next, because kind of like myself, it sounds almost familiar to my journey. But I started out with audio, doing radio. Did you ever do like did your school ever have like a radio station at all? Because I figure if you're from California or whatever, that they probably
Well,
would.
I grew up in South Florida for the first 27 years, and
Oh,
then
okay.
moved to Los Angeles in my late 20s. But yeah, did we have an audio? We had, I think in our junior high, we had where they did the morning announcements. I think during lunchtime there was like a radio show. You know, you can do like an hour-long radio show during lunch. But really, it was more so that we had the TV in junior high. We had the local morning announcements.
Okay.
You know, the principal would get on, and a couple of kid anchors, and I was the weather guy. I was Steve C's,
Oh.
the wacky weather corner, and because nobody was reporting on weather, so I'm like, all right, I'm gonna find a niche.
So you almost became a meteorologist after
Well, yeah, and it was kind of a thought, like maybe.
Yeah.
And at the
Wow.
time, Max Headroom was a big thing, so I was Steve
Oh.
Headroom. So
Oh,
I
so
did.
we're talking like late 80s or whatever, huh? Or mid 80s, late.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's been a little while. I mean, I mean, I figure there's a little bit of an age gap between you and I. I graduated in 2002, so it feels like it's been almost 22 years as of June 2nd.
Yeah,
So,
1990 for me, so
okay, so a little
yeah.
over 30 years. Well, I
Yeah.
mean, but still, I mean, you graduated at a time when I believe that, and I still believe that the dream is still out there for some of us who still are trying to chase it or whatever, no matter what age we're at. But I feel like you graduated and got to become somebody at a time when more people were saying yes and they were saying no. Like right now in today's world, it is so hard for a guy like me, I don't know why, but to get a job in the broadcasting industry and be paid and whatever. Everybody likes, oh, we can hire you, but we can't pay you. But for a guy like you who graduated, how you did and at the time period, I feel like maybe you could have been pretty much anything that you wanted to do, no matter if you went to school for it or not. You had your opportunities to, hey, we're waiting for you. Whatever you choose to do, we're here for you.
Sure. I mean, yes and no. I would certainly say that I think nowadays there's a bigger playing field. I mean, you've got so many, you've got YouTube, you've got now podcasts, everybody's able to do podcasts. You've got, social media where people are just creating, content on social media. So we didn't have those sort of things. There was no YouTube, there was no Instagram, there was no, so you were kind of limited to getting a job, at a t local TV station or maybe a radio station, which I did. I ended up working in radio for, for 6 years, a local radio station. So,
Oh wow! So you said
yeah.
so a little bit of both when it comes to that. That's awesome because it's
Yeah.
like, I do you feel like radio kind of helped you kind of establish yourself too a little bit, build your career?
Well, I do. So, the funny, it's all about situations and scenarios and the right place and the right time and the needs of what people have. So, I was working at Blockbuster Video. I was an assistant manager, and I used to sit in my car in the morning before the manager, the head manager would come, or just sometimes pulling in the, pulling into Blockbuster, and I would listen to the local morning, the morning show with Bobby and Footy in the morning. It was on Y100. So, and I'd listen to them, and they were, kind of like the funny guys in the morning you listen to in South Florida. And one of the DJs on there, Footy, is his name.
Okay.
Well, John Cross is his name, but they call him Footy.
Yeah.
He was doing something. There was something in the news, maybe about Russia, or I don't know what it was, but back in the early 90s, and he was like, "Hey, if anybody can find me any old sound bites from the old Rocky and Bullwinkle show, let me know." And I thought, "Oh, I know that in our animation section we've got old VH, we got the VHS of all the Rocky and Bullwinkle shows." So I'm
Sure.
like, so I called up the station. I left them a voicemail, said, "Hey, I work at Blockbuster. I can probably get you some of those. I can, edit, what you need. Tell me how I can help you." And, he got back to me, said, "Hey, I need some, some sound bites of Natasha, saying, 'Oh, Boris, what are we doing, Boris?' Whatever." So I put some stuff together. I ran it. I put it because then maybe it was, I put on cassette or VHS. I brought it to him, and he was so thankful. He used it in the show and some of his morning show bits that he was doing. And then it was like, okay, now I need this, and now I need a sound bite of this, and can you get me? And so I became sort of the hookup that he needed to get certain sound bites. I need the Robin Williams from this one special he did talking about that. Oh, well, we've got that as part of the comedy special. So I started just, becoming the person he went to. And then he's like, I need to make some copies of these videos. Can you make some copies of? So I worked my way in. I started going to the studio, hanging out. I would hang out with the producer, kind of see what he was doing. I would be telling jokes. I would be telling what the latest videos coming out at Blockbuster, that week would be. So that was how I became Video Steve, because like, hey, here's Video Steve with the latest in Block. Hey, guys, thanks for having me. This week we've got, Batman Returns is out, and Arachnophobia, whatever that was about. So when the morning show producer got an offer to write for a big name TV show, and they needed somebody to fill his spot, they're like, hey, why don't we bring in Steve? He's been here long enough now. He knows the game. He know you know he's funny. He knows how to do stuff. So that's how I got brought into, working as a morning show producer and then the personality. So did
Wow.
that for 6 years. So yeah, it
Oh,
was a blast. And I still get people to this day who will still call me Video Steve.
that's
I was in California once, cleaning out my garage with my wife, and a woman was jogging up the street, and I was talking to my wife about something, and she stops. This woman stops running up the hill in front of our house and goes, "Hold up, wait a minute. Are you Video Steve from Y100?" And I'm like, "I'm in the middle of, California,
Yeah,
and
like
this
how would
woman
you
is,
know
I'm like,
that?
yeah, yes." And she goes, "Oh my gosh, I used to listen to you all the time, bro. Back in South Florida. I live in South Florida, but I'm out visiting my sister who lives up the street here in California. And I was running and I heard your voice." And I'm like, "Wow, okay."
Oh,
So
jeez.
you never know. You never know who or where you're going to impact somebody and who's going to remember you for what you sound like or what you've done. So it's been kind of crazy. So.
Well, that's again, that's how you and I are very similar because I feel like even with everything that you've done in your life, up to this point, and everything I've done in my life up to this point, it's like it's two different worlds, but it's like it's fun to be creative. Like
Yeah.
and I will say you are 100% right when it comes to everything that you say about I mean, yes, it might be tougher to get jobs that you really want, but if you have the right sources and everything, you can definitely. I mean, YouTube has always been a good source, no matter what. I mean, I can complain about not getting enough views or whatever, blah blah blah. But I have content. I have lots of content, and a lot of it, is really really good. Some of it's probably kind of stupid, but but that's how you d kind of figure everything out. Like, what stuff, like if I'm going to do a highlight reel one day of things that I think people would like. What is the thing? What are the things that you think that people are going to like about what you've done the most? And kind of like for you, I mean, like if you had like a greatest hits or whatever or compilations, like I'm sure you put together reels before, but like, do you have like a little like stuff that you would put on there, like that were is your personal favorite that you think people would like?
Yeah, well, I mean, like I have, pretty much everything I have is kind of now on those YouTube channels, but so you can find them. But there's certainly been some red carpets. There's been some videos that I've done, commercial things that I've done for clients. I mean, I don't know if there's anything that stands out as things that really are the most memorable. I mean, when it comes to it, it comes recently, I'd say, to the stuff I've done with my kids, because it's been so, we've kind of found that niche of like kid reporters, which when you go on the red carpet, and I remember the first red carpet my daughter did, and it was for Frozen, for Disney's Frozen, and I was working for Disney at the time, so we got in, it was great, and they liked the niche of a young kid reporter, and just having the actors walk down the red carpet and go, "Oh my gosh, who are you?" And it's one thing to have a 5-year-old kid ask questions, but it's when you have a 5-year-old who is engaging and entertaining and can hold their own. And
Yes.
my between our kids growing up with myself working in entertainment, my wife works in Shakespeare. She's a Shakespeare teacher and director.
Wow.
So these kids have grown up, knowing how to talk and present themselves and be in front of other people, So my they have a very natural ability to just engage and keep the eye contact and come up with fun questions and be professional. And I think that's really kind of carved our niche with our family channel for, doing things that are unique and fun. So those are where a lot of those collaborations we do with theme parks and, sci-fi and comic conventions and, celebrity interviews and things like that.
So once you get the approval to do a red carpet, then what's the process go like? What's the mindset like when you start planning it with your kids or whatever, depending on which one you do with, I suppose.
Right.
Like the latest one. For
Yeah,
those that
sure.
are not aware, Steve got to do take part in what I'm so jealous about because I'm a huge Ghostbuster fan, even though I don't have my shirt on right now like you do. You have a Ghostbuster shirt on, I see, and some Ghostbuster stuff in the background and everything. But like you got to take part, and your son got to take part in the Frozen Empire premiere, and I'm pretty sure that was like just breathtaking in its own right. How long did it take to process from the initial invite to get it out on the platform?
Yeah, well, I mean, as a producer, you that's one of the things that I pride myself on is producing things, and making things happen. And I mean, so we back in 2016, when we lived in Los Angeles, my daughter, we were able to get onto the Ghostbusters, the female
Yep,
driven
answer the call.
Ghostbusters,
Yeah, I do
answer
remember
the
that
call.
video.
Right,
Yes.
so she, so I think even then, we were doing stuff at the time with Beyond the Marquee with Sony to celebrate. It was right around maybe the 30th, 35th anniversary of Ghostbusters. So we had shot stuff on the Sony Studios. We shot some stuff with Ghost Corps. We shot stuff with Stephen Dane, who was the creator of the Ghost Packs and the Ecto-1, the designer. And we shot with the original Ecto-1 on the Sony lot with him. We shot at the original Firehouse in Los Angeles for the carbon copy of Engine House 8 in New York.
Sure.
We got to shoot inside the Firehouse. So we were doing a lot of stuff with them. And then they were like, hey, we got the 2016 movie, and I reached out and said, hey, do you think we can, we've done all this stuff. So we got on with that. So from there, I built a relationship with the folks at Sony and Ghost Corps, and we I reached out. We had just moved out here right around when Afterlife was coming out. And we were still coming out of COVID. And I reached out to them to say, hey, I know you're doing a premiere in New York for Afterlife. Can we do it? But at the time, they were keeping their numbers very small because we still were
Sure. Yeah.
still masking. And
Yeah.
so
Never
we
forget
weren't
that
able.
time of
Yeah. So
period.
things were a little tight. And so we weren't able to get on that. But for this one coming up, I reached out again, but that must have been maybe 2 months ago, or at least 2 months before the premiere. I reached out to them and kind of the same contacts I had, and they put me in touch with the New York division of Sony, the reps out here. And it was a process, and there was a point where we almost weren't even sure we were going to get on the red carpet because they were overbooked, and they were trying
Oh,
to find,
sure.
where to put us and maybe who to take out, who to shift around. And it wasn't until probably about a week before the premiere that we finally got the official, hey, we found a spot for you. We're good. Here's your press invite, and we were locked in. And at that point, it was then trying to figure out, okay, what time is it? When do we need to, when do we need to be there? Figuring out like train times into the city, because we live just outside of New York in Connecticut. And then finding out, like trying to find out who's going to be there. So is it going to be Finn Wolfhard, McKenna Grace, Paul Rudd? Like trying to find out everybody who's going to be there. And then from there, figuring out questions. What questions are we going to ask? So then we'd solicit to some of our followers and viewers, like, okay, we're going to be going next week. What would you ask the Ghostbusters, cast and crew? So it's a process of creating those questions, going through those with my son ahead of time. We were the day before, we were sitting in our living room. I was going through every one. Okay, so here's our card for Paul Rudd. Here's our card for McKenna Grace and for Dan Aykroyd. And going through these things so that way when we got to the carpet, it's not, picking up a card and going, okay, Mr. Aykroyd, what was it like to be in, I want him to look at the card and go, Okay, Mr. Ackroyd, so what was it like to be in the movie again? You know, so to be able to at least have some keywords that trigger the question he's going to ask, which he did great at. And
Oh, yeah.
then it was, you know, we have collaborations with different companies and brands. So I had kind of put on alert our friends at HalloweenCostumes.com, who are very excited to always work with us and do things. So they sent us, you know, a Ghostbuster, you know, costume
Yeah,
and
I
an
was going to
extra.
ask about that. If you guys had one
Yeah.
just hanging around, or just
Now we've had them for, you know, we've had them back since 2016 with the kids for Answer the Call, Ghostbusters, and so, but we got an updated, you know, an updated one that fit him. We got the
Sure.
PKE meter, which I turned into a microphone. So that was put a
That's
little. Yeah, I put a little wireless microphone. There was a little belt clip on the back of the meter, and I figured a way to clip on a microphone on there so it would kind of be hidden and discreet. And then I put our mic flag on it with our branding, and then that became the creative, you know, tool to use as that. So yeah, so I mean, there's little things that all come together, and finally, you know, the night of, you know, we went down there and we had to go see the movie ahead of time. Sony invited us a couple weeks early to
Oh,
see the movie at their headquarters, just so we're versed, just so we know, you know, you're going to be on the carpet, you're asking these questions, you've got something to relate, not just something you saw in the trailer, you know.
yeah.
Yeah, so it is a process, you know. It's about, you know, making sure also the right equipment. I've got the right, you know, the right cameras, the right lights, the right microphones, making sure you have a backup. I mean, literally, we were minutes away from the red carpet, people coming down the red carpet, and my main camera, I don't know what happened, but it just suddenly there was an issue, and it wouldn't, like, it's something, it locked and it wouldn't focus. And I was like, I don't, and I just shot stuff minutes before with my son, but something got hit, something got touched, and I couldn't get it to focus. And I'm freaking out. I'm going, oh my God, here comes Paul Rudd. And like, what am I going to do? And I'm already thinking, okay, I've got my secondary camera. Let me pull that out. I got to fit. So I'm already, I had to figure out. And then I basically said, let me try one more time. I shut the camera off. I ejected the cards, popped them back in, and whatever it was, it reset and we were fine. But you do get put into those moments where, oh crap, something's gone wrong. I always try to make sure I have a backup, you know.
Oh yeah, very
So,
prepared.
you know, so it, you know, it worked out. And then we,
So the biggest thing I guess I would say, and it's probably not an issue with you at all, but like, did your son kind of have a, for being 9 years old, I'm sure all your kids are pretty smart, I would say, but you know, just because of, you know, all the things that they know and everything. But were you ever worried that your son didn't understand what was going on, or did he have a good idea what you got to do?
No, I mean, because this isn't his first, that was, may have been his first red carpet, but it is definitely not his first on camera thing. He's been on camera for years. He's hosted stuff with my, you know, other kids. They've done stuff at Toy Fair. He did a red carpet event 6 months before for the Toady Awards, which is the Toy of the Year award.
Oh, yeah.
That he did for the Toy Association in New York. So he was interviewing people. So being on camera was not an issue. I mean, granted, he was a little nervous because he'd never, you know, had done a red carpet before. So, and certainly, yes, there becomes those moments where you think, okay, well, if there's an issue and he suddenly freezes up and like, I can't do this, that, oh my gosh, no, this is too much, then I know, okay, I can step in and I can do it. So, you know, at
He seemed
least
like a
you are.
natural. He seemed like he knew, like he just
He was fine.
flowed.
Yeah, he was fine. And Chase loves talking to people. He loves engaging with people. He's a very talkative kind of person. He's got just good communication skills. So, I mean, once he was on there, once he recognized these are the people, he's able to joke around. He's got a good sense of humor. So that was fun. And all my kids are like that. They all have grown up, you know, we've been doing this for so many years, and it becomes something that it becomes natural. I mean, certainly, you know, when we go to these events, whether it's a red carpet or it's a special toy event or something at a theme park, you know, I'm quick to remind them and be like, hey, take a look around and let me know how many of your other friends that you see from school here right now, you know, And they'll be like, well, nobody. I'm like, exactly. So just make sure you appreciate and you understand how special and how, unique this moment is. And let's embrace this and let's have some fun with this, because this is really something that nobody else is doing. Your other friends aren't doing. This isn't commonplace. So trying to make sure that they build that appreciation, that, that they know that this is, what we're doing is special and unique, and is a real wonderful privilege that we get when we get invited to these, these places to have this opportunity.
I think if I had children, I'd do the same thing. I'd get my kids involved just and see what happens. But I don't have no kids, so did you ever think that you when you had a family that this was going to be your life? Like this is how it's going to go.
It's so this is going to sound silly. Well, when I was like 12 years old, I was already thinking, like, if I had a son, I'm going to name him Chase. Now, this was before Chase Bank. This was just a name that was out there somewhere that I heard. And I thought, that's a really cool name. I even used to go by the name, like, in radio on the weekends, be like, hey, it's Stephen Chase here on the radio. Like, I would do things. I'd write stories, and I put the name Chase because I always wanted to keep that name alive. So when my son was born, I'm like, all right, then we know what we're going to name him. I used to watch like the movie like Curly Sue, and it was, this little girl was, 10 years old, and she was singing, and she was, had a great voice, and she was such an actress. And I thought, one day, I would, it would be so great to have kids that were this personable and outgoing. And I did. I got my Curly Sues. I got my oldest daughter is an actress, and she sings, and may not have the curly hair, but her personality is, so I kind of always, I think, manifested into the universe like what I wanted for my family, and I wanted at least three kids. We ended up with four, so it's we really are blessed, and they're just such great personalities, every one of them. And and some are stronger than others. Some had has ha have had their moments on camera, and they've really shown, and now they're taking a break. Other ones kind of pop in and out and still are just as great as, as always. So it just all depends on their interests. I never force them into doing anything that they don't want to do. I always check with them, say, hey, the studio wants to send us this box of something to review. Do we want to do it? Maybe it's out of their age range. Maybe it's for a show that we don't watch. So they're like, well, Dad, we've never seen the show. We don't even know what to talk about. So I'm like, all right, we'll pass on it. But sometimes they get super excited. Oh my gosh, yeah, Monster High, or the movie Migration. Yeah, well, let's definitely talk about that. Or, so it all depends. But we certainly have fun. And the same thing with local attractions and theme parks. And a lot of the videos that we've done have become calling cards for me, for my style, for my editing. As you mentioned before, yeah, I do a lot of editing, for producing, for directing, if not just, kids on camera, but just directing people on camera at interviews. So a lot of the stuff that we do, I use now as calling cards for companies, or for brands, or for studios and things like that. If I'm applying for something or for a job, and people go, okay, you can handle this with kids. We know you can handle this with adults, or you've done these great shoots at theme parks. We have this event going on. We know that you can cover that. So it's been helping me, by outside of the family channel, getting work by stuff that we've done. So.
And that's just what makes everything unique. I'm sure you got in your neighborhood alone, and not just because of all the friends that you have, everywhere around or whatever. Neighborhood alone, probably your neighborhood probably do they know a lot about what you do and everything? I mean, just on the side, and find it pretty unique for those who are accountants and stuff that don't have the fun jobs and stuff.
Yeah, I know what it is interesting, having we moved almost, it's going to be almost 3 years ago this week, I think, that we moved here from Los Angeles to Connecticut. And yeah, it is certainly a different environment. I mean, in LA, you can throw a rock in any direction and hit somebody who's an entertainment, here, my neighbors are accountants, or they work in the school field, or they work in, the city hall, or they're they work in restaurants or bakers. So there's like there's not really that entertainment vibe. So people do get, It's kind of a 50-50. Some people kind of are like, "Ooh, I don't know. We've never done this before." Or like, "We're not really used to a YouTube thing or videos or our kids being on videos." Other times they're very like, "Oh my gosh, yeah, we want to totally do it. We'd love to. That'd be so cool. Our kids would love to be part of your video." So there's kind of like a mixed bag in kind of the reactions. Whereas in Hollywood, it would be just it's a given, you know, in Los Angeles.
Well, what I'm
So
saying is like anytime you'd be invited to like a barbecue, we'll say, you know, just
right.
like, what do you guys do? Like, I'm sure when you first moved to
Oh yeah.
Connecticut, everybody was like, curious about what you guys are about, I'm sure. And
Right.
you told them. So I'm sure they were like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
Nobody
well, I mean, you know, that's
expects that.
just knowing that, you know, I work in entertainment. So the Family Channel is something that is really more of just a hobby that we do on the side. My career is a you know, creative content producer, segment director, editor, videographer. You know, so I do work with a lot of toy companies and animation clients and you know, various brands to create sizzle reels or you know, do edits to some of their animation shows and things like that. This morning I was editing a show called Zoonicorns, which is about zebra unicorns.
Oh,
It's kind of a
jeez.
preschool show. It's on Peacock right now. It's in the
Oh.
second season on Peacock, but so I'm editing clips for that show.
Okay.
Last week I was editing stuff where I got flown out to Sundance in January to shoot interviews with a talent on the red carpet of a bunch of premieres at Sundance. So I've been still editing some of
Jeez.
that. I'll be going out to Vegas in May to shoot stuff for Zoonicorns and for Spin Master Toys at the Licensing Expo show, to shoot content for them that week, and then going back and editing things. So it's kind of a mixed bag. Back to the Future is another thing that's you know,
Oh,
I've done for over 20 years. I was the senior East Coast correspondent for backtothefuture.com. So
yeah.
and
I
living in
remember
Los
that
Angeles,
website.
you know, living in LA was great because that's where the movies were shot. So we had Universal Studios, we had a lot of filming locations. They did a lot of you know, a lot of the stars live out there. They have a lot of the fan reunions and fan
Oh,
celebrations are out there.
yeah. Or it's
So
the JCPenney, what you call it, parking lot.
that's right. That's
Yeah.
right. So I shot and covered a lot of things for Back to the Future, became friends with the filmmakers and some of the actors and people from the movie. And you know, having that affiliation with backtothefuture.com, which is endorsed by Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale, that you know, it's an official thing. So, you know, moving out to New York in this area, I thought, all right, well, I've given that part of my life away now, you know, put it behind me, because what is there in Connecticut and New York for Back to the Future? There's nothing out here. So I could be the senior West Coast correspondent for
Sure.
something. If there's something out here, sure, Michael J. Fox lives in New York, maybe there'd be an opportunity to do something. But what is there? Well, the Back to the Future, the musical, you know,
Oh.
that's been on the West End in London for 3 years, announced that they were bringing the musical to New York. So I got on the phone with my friend Bob Gale, who's the co-producer, co-writer, co-producer of Back to the Future, and I said, "Bob, it's coming to New York. I'm 90 minutes out of New York. What can I do? How can I be a part of this?" And again, through all the years of doing stuff with him, I earned his trust. He knows my style, so he put me on the phone with the right people. And you know, within no time, I was having conversations about how I could be involved with the Broadway show. And I was doing stuff, the first kickoffs with the big announcements, Comic-Con 2022, I guess it was. We did a big kickoff at New York Comic-Con. And I interviewed Christopher Lloyd, and I interviewed, you know, different people, interviewed the fans about their reaction about a Broadway, you know, musical coming to Back to the Future, you know, coming to Broadway. So that was it. And then as the show evolved and it came to the Winter Garden Theater, I was there doing rehearsals with the cast and crew. We've had the big galas and the celebrations with the, you know, some of the main actors from the movie, the original movies came, I've done interviews. And putting together still now videos for backtothefuture.com, as well as the Back to the Future Broadway content team. So I was able to exert myself to make that one call, which opened up doors to keep me working. I was working on the Back to the Future documentary for the Back to the Future musical, Broadway musical,
Oh, yeah, okay.
which will be coming out maybe sometime this year to Netflix or something like that. The same company that does the toys that made us, the movies that made us, that company that made us for Netflix.
The Netflix,
Yeah, so it's that company is producing this documentary about the Back to the Future
Jeez.
musical. So I was fortunate enough to then from the stuff I did with that get myself involved with that. So it's been wonderful to kind of carry that on and just been living in this world that is entertainment for me. I've never been able to give up the love I've had for movies and television because I've always surrounded myself with it and in it and made that a part of who I am and the career that I do and the people that I work with. That's what brings me joy. And I think you got to do what brings you joy in this life. And for me, it's working with movies and TV and pop culture,
I don't think you realize how much that, like now that we, now that you've shared all those stories with me and everything, how, whether people are watching or not, how big of a legend you really are, man. I
I
tell you, I
don't,
mean,
yeah, I mean,
you're living the coolest life. You're living the life that I should be living. I should be doing
well,
stuff like that. Man, that's unbelievable. I never, yeah, and I, even like with Ghostbusters and Back to the Future and stuff. I mean, who knew that that stuff was going to be so iconic? I mean, to me, I
right.
feel just as big as Star Wars. To me, I feel the Back to the Future and Ghostbusters series are probably a little bit bigger than Star Wars, but of course, some people will probably say I'm wrong. Just like, whatever. But I don't know. It's just like it's nice to, that we have this nostalgia. Now, as you probably are aware, they're doing the promotions for the new Beetlejuice movie.
Okay.
I
That's
are
right.
you planning on doing anything with that at all, or whatever in the fall?
So our hands are sort of tied when it comes to things that are like, I mean, LA has the cornucopia of studios and networks and things like that there. So they usually do a lot of the big premieres in LA. So, once in a while they will get something out to New York, or if it's New York themed, like after Life or not after Afterlife and Frozen Empire, Ghostbusters, they'll do the premieres out here and certain things for, we've done some stuff for some of the streaming services that have had movies out here. And we did it like Blue's Clues in New York. They had their blue carpet out here, so we did that. So there's certain things
Okay.
that that we can do, but there's a lot of stuff that's back in LA that
Okay.
if they have their big Warner Brother premiere Beetlejuice out there, unless they offer to fly us out, we probably won't do anything, but we do sometimes do follow-ups when, they do the home entertainment releases. They'll do
Oh,
the home video release sort of thing, junkets with some of the stars. So, we might get one of the actors from that, same thing like with
okay.
Wonka. Wonka had their big LA premiere, but we
Oh,
still were able to do a Zoom junket with the director and the girl who played the Noodle in the movie The
yeah.
Calla
Okay.
Lane, but we interviewed
Yeah.
Paul King. So we do get some moments that we get to not be at the red carpet but still partake in something. So I mean, if we do, we do. If we don't, we can always put it out there and try
I
and
suppose
hopefully things
you.
like things like the Frozen Empire premiere and things that
Oh,
my son
yeah.
did well at, it may be more now of a calling card to be like, hey, this kid's really great. He's really sharp. He's engaging with the talent. Let's fly him out to LA to do something. We were actually flown out a year after we moved to Connecticut. We were all flown back from Apple TV Plus to do the big red carpet for Jon Favreau's dinosaur series that
Oh.
he did. It was kind of like that BBC-ish type of walking with dino. It was
Yeah.
Prehistoric Planet, I think it was called.
Okay.
So
Okay.
they flew us all back, put us up, at a hotel on Sunset Boulevard, and my third youngest daughter did the red carpet interview for
Yeah.
that. Sometimes there's moments where they'll fly you out because they want that. Jon Favreau really wanted that kid presence. He liked the stuff that we'd done before, so he said, "Yeah, bring the whole family out." So,
I suppose you've never done anything with like WWE or anything like that, and since WrestleMania is coming almost in your, pretty much in your area here next week,
It is. It's in Connecticut. The headquarters are here in Connecticut. I haven't done anything with them. I used to watch them as a kid. I used to watch WWF and the
Attitude Era and all
WrestleMania. I
that.
had all the big the wrestle the big rubber figures and all that. I used to love WWF as a kid. But nothing on the menu for that. But
Okay. Are your
it's
kids wrestling fans at all or anything or no?
no, not really.
Oh.
They're into lot now, like the VR games. So my son
Oh,
plays
sure.
the Oculus. He plays Gorilla Tag, which is a like a game where it makes it look like you're a gorilla and you got to kind of move your arms and you kind of go around when you play with other kids. But he plays it, he records it, he plays it back, he downloads it to the computer, he edits his own videos, puts them up on his own channel, at 9 years old. And so
Crazy.
that's what he's into. He's into gaming. So it's all a little bit different. It's fine. It is, but it is finding the niche of what's hot. If it's not Ghostbusters or Back to the Future, it's other things. My oldest daughter found her niche in a show called Miraculous
Oh,
Ladybug, which is a show
okay.
on it's on various. I think it used to be on Netflix. Now I think it's on Disney. It's a show, an animation show about these Parisian kids that have superpowers and fight an enemy. But she got in as the young kind of brand ambassador, junior reporter right at the very
Wow.
beginning, and she has been with it for 7 years. And
Jeez.
we got invited to go to the Comic Cons and be she would do this exclusive backstage interviews with the cast. She would we'd go to their houses and do interviews. We would go on stage at Comic Con. They put her up there on stage with her. They were actually going to write her into some of the online animation episodes. The animators were already drawing characters of what she was going to look like. We do a lot of product reviews and unboxings of things. So it's I didn't have Miraculous. We didn't have Miraculous when I was growing up. We had Star Wars, Ghostbusters, Back to the Future. But trying to find things that are in the pop culture now, that's in that zeitgeist that everybody's into, that they are into, that gets them excited, I'm excited about fueling for them. So even though Doctor Who was around before I was born, that was both something that we both enjoyed together, my oldest daughter and I, and we found that together, and that was the launching pad. Now she isn't as into Doctor Who as she is into other things, but that's still a show that's around, and maybe my son would get into it, because
Oh,
that's timeless. So
yeah. So I mean, to kind of summarize this whole interview, since we're, almost, I think I only have one other question for you.
nope.
But I want to say, first of all, thank you for letting me do this interview with you, because
Sure.
it's really, really
Listen,
awesome.
like I said, before we started this interview, I saw you had Henry Thomas from E.T., you had Jack O'Halloran from Superman, my old pal Eddie Deason, from Polar Express and Grease and War Games, and Butch Patrick from the Munsters. I mean, so when I saw those, I'm like, all right, he's got some cred. He's got these if he's got these folks on his show, then you can have me, I guess.
Why am I not a millionaire by now? But I don't know. It's
Nah, but
I love hosting. I'm always, it's always because of the growing up and liking the late night talk shows, and I just like I've always loved that format. I always thought that was the coolest thing to get paid, or well, to watch somebody get paid to have a whole crew take care of guests for them, and Jay Leno, Dave Letterman,
for sure.
Conan
Yeah.
O'Brien, all those guys. It's like I love that stuff, and then add a little radio to that mix too, and it's just like you got something special, So I'm honored, and just honored to have you too, because you add to my list of people that I wanted to, because I wanted to interview you for quite some time. Not
Well,
just
they
based
finally they dropped all the charges and here I am
on.
now. So they let
That's
me
right.
out.
It
So
worked out very well.
yeah.
So I guess the last question I have for you is basically like, have you ever thought about like what your legacy is? Like years from now, or when you get older and retire or whatever, what do you want people to remember Steve Zardecki about? Like,
That's
what's your
interesting.
legacy?
And it's so funny because I don't know if I feel like I will never retire. Like I know my kids will outgrow the YouTube channel at some point. But I know I will always love entertainment, and as long as it still brings me joy and I can find a way to do it, and I'm not, I don't outage myself by things I can do, I think I'll always will be involved because again, that's what brings me happiness, and just being able to take people, places, things, and events and put them in a blender and mix it up and pour out a story or something that makes people smile. That's what I love. So I think I'll always be doing that. But I think if I walk outside and a bus hits me, and they're writing an obituary tomorrow, I think it will be, people will certainly, I think, remember me for, I know my oldest dear friends have been with me, for a long time. They know my love for Back to the Future. So I think Back to the Future will be part of it, but I think it'll just be being a storyteller. I think just someone who was able to go any place, be dropped in any situation, and tell a story and find unique characters, find unique questions that weren't being asked by people. Just oh, I guess maybe just being an entertainer. I don't know. That's a really hard question. I don't know what would be on my tombstone or obituary other than just kind of a very long list of skills and experiences that I've done through the years. But I hope it's someone who brought joy to others, brought people together. I used to host a lot of parties. I used to do a lot of events that brought a lot of different people together, whether for work or for personal relationships. So I hope it's just somebody who brought joy to the world and to others. I don't know. Just hopefully I've done something to leave some sort of a mark that when I leave, someone might remember me and go, "Oh yeah, that guy. He did. I
Sure.
remember him." And I think, having those videos, that we do for our YouTube channel, even with the kids, which, I equate to kind of being our home movies,
Yep.
that we get to share with the world. I think I'd like to think that those are things that, we put these videos out and people will write us years later and go, "Oh my gosh, I saw that video and that inspired me to do this." I think as we grow, I mean, I'm not trying to do a shameless self-promotion here, but
Oh,
like
that's okay.
I just wrote a kid's book that just got put out about a month and a half ago called Bigfoot in My Backyard, now available on Amazon.
Okay.
No, but I we have these woods behind our house here in Connecticut, and while we were going up through the woods, I saw all these different things that, as a kid reading books about Bigfoot, kind of reminded me of, like traits that the Bigfoots would have, and I thought, oh, and I literally on my phone in my backyard, I voice dictated a in 5 minutes, I voice t dictated this book. This idea for the book and basically almost every page. And then it took me 2 years to kind of fine tune it, find an illustrator I found off of Fiverr.com in he was in another country. What country was he in? He's oh geez, hold on, I gotta look in the back of the book here. Hold on, I'll tell you. So I was able to Indonesia. A guy named Endar, and I sketched out my ideas for the pages, and he brought them to life with his style, which I loved. And I had the book for almost a year and a half done, but I didn't know how do I publish it. I've been trying to find publishers and things like that. So once I was able to find like Amazon Kindle and discovered, okay, I can self-publish, and then I found somebody who helped me kind of through it, and then I did it. So yeah, now I have a book. So but what I was trying to get to was that, like, now this book has become something where people are writing me and saying, "We love this book. My son loves this book. He's reading it to us. He's reading it to his classes, to his class at school, or here my other son had, this has a reading disorder and he barely ever reads, but he picked up your book and he read it twice the other day." very touching stuff where I'm like, okay, I
Yes.
feel validated that I've done something to touch somebody in a little bit of a way that's changed them, made their life a little bit better, given them a little bit of, extra joy and a smile, so I don't know. I hope that whatever my legacy is, it's just that I've given the gift of entertainment maybe to people throughout the years. Maybe I don't know. That's inspired somehow, entertained,
Wow.
engaged.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Maybe I've educated. I don't know.
I mean, you had definitely educated me. I mean, I really had no clue that you wrote a book. That's a wow. I thought I knew everything about you, but I guess I
I
get
will see,
no less detail.
and the beauty is that I hope to keep evolving. So maybe it's the book now. Maybe through you, I'll be inspired to do a podcast, and come up with a podcast. And so I think it's just all about everybody evolving and learning. AI is so, I mean, you've seen, you've read, AI is changing. So it's like,
Oh yeah.
how much time do we have before the things that I do are obsolete and AI takes over everything? So now I'm trying to learn AI. I'm trying to learn the different programs and the right things to say to make the images and the videos look the right way. So when a client says, hey, can you do AI? An AI thing or design something, I can be like, yes, I know how to do that.
Well.
Because you have to adapt to your surroundings. I edit, we talked about my editing. I edit on Final Cut Pro. That's where I edit all my videos. I have for years. I love it. It's for me, that's
It
I can master. I
definitely
can
shows
master.
because of how you do that. Yeah.
Thank you. But I have people who say, hey, we'd like to hire you tomorrow for this job, for this show or whatever. Just want to make sure that you know how to edit on Adobe Premiere, and you can do Adobe, whatever the different things that the Adobe Premiere editing. But I'd be like, I mean, I've dabbled in it, but I'm not proficient in it. I can kind of. I've done it for a couple jobs, but it's not my forte. And then like, oh, we really need somebody who's an expert at it. Sorry. So I miss opportunities because, I may not be as proficient in some things as others, which I then for me is like, okay, then I've got to go in and I've got to learn. So the next time someone says, do you do Adobe Premiere? I can be like, yes, and I can do it. And if what I don't know, I'll find out online on a YouTube tutorial, or I'll ask some friends who are in the industry, hey, you're on Premiere, how do you do this? We had a I was on a we're out of time. Can I
No,
keep
you're
going?
fine.
Oh,
You're
okay.
you. I
No.
mean,
I was working on a show for an ABC show for Martha Stewart. We did a show with Martha Stewart out here a couple of years ago. In post-production, they needed the producers who were on the show, which I was one of, to then work with the editing team to help put shows to, put the clips together and to help kind of narrow things down, because we had a bunch of producers run the show and we had worked together on different things, but everybody had their sort of niche. So as opposed to leaving it to the editor to kind of guess, they brought in back in the producers to work. But it was on Avid editing, and I knew nothing of Avid at all. But they're like, can you do Avid? And I was like, yeah, sure, because I wanted the job. I wanted to keep working, and I figured I will figure out what it is that I need to do. So I looked on some, I knew I had about a week before that all started. So I went online. I learned the basics of Avid, to figure out which is what I needed to cut clips and to pull things. And then when I was actually in the moment and I still was like, oh, I don't know. And I hit this button, something happened. I called a buddy of mine who was working on some Disney shows, and he works on Avid all the time. And I said, JD, what do I do to do this? Oh, just do the blah, blah, blah. And so I took notes and I learned it. So I think it's, in that moment, you have to kind of just always evolve, because the world evolves. Just like we could still be having our flip phone, but no, we've got the I
That's
mean,
right.
this is an iPhone 11 or something. Like, it's not even like I'm not even up to the 15, 16.
Google Pixel, straight
So I mean, I just graduated off a flip phone, not too long ago.
Oh, okay.
That's not true. I made that up, but
Okay.
But you know, it is about evolving, and whether it's new editing software or mastering AI, it's going to be coming. And if we're left in the dark, and we just kind of go, no, I'm not going to deal with AI and ChatGPT, you're going to realize that people are already doing it and making money off of it and having a career. So how do I just you got to just embrace it and do it. So I think it's just as technology advances and changes, so does our skill set, and we have to keep up. And that's what I'm trying to do. So hopefully, whatever legacy I leave behind will include what I've done and what I continue to do for the next 20 years.
So for anybody that hasn't learned enough about you or needs more information, how can they look you up?
That's a great question. I guess we have a we have the do I have one of our well for our family YouTube channel. I'm gonna pause. Let me see 1 second if I can if this will work. I
Sure.
don't know if this will work. Hang on. Let's see if this works.
Yeah,
Let's see if this so let's see. So if people want to scan that, they can actually scan that barcode, and that'll take us to our On the Scene Adventures YouTube channel.
sure.
That scan that and that's you can see all of the things that we
Oh wow,
do.
you did a big old business card. Wow,
Well,
that's cool.
we hand these out at events, and it shows people will gravitate like, oh, hey, John Cena, or Billie Eilish, or different people. So they see a little bit
Oh, that's
of what we've
cool.
done. So we hand these out when we go to events. So this is our outlet, and they understand that we work, and it says who we've worked, different people we work with.
That's your golden ticket right there, more than a press pass, I'd say.
That's it, kind of. So people can go to that or youtube.com. It's On the Scene Adventures. On social media, it's On the Scene ADV. That's for the YouTube channel and for the kids' social media for our thing. For me, I guess if you go to studio, hold on, let's see, studio, I'm backwards here. Studio 23, there you go, right above me.
Okay.
Studio 23 PRODS, like productions, Studio 23 prods
Okay.
dot com. That is kind of a gateway that will take you actually to our YouTube channel, to my wife's Shakespeare Kids programs. It'll take you to a link for Bigfoot in My Backyard. It'll
Okay.
take you to a link to my demo reels for some of the stuff I've done. So Studio 23 prods, PRODS dot com, I guess would probably be the way.
And
And that's
is your book available pretty much everywhere then, or?
it's on Amazon.com, and it's available on Amazon Kindle, and
You
wherever fine
think
books are sold.
Barnes and Noble carry it too at all, or
No,
no? It's
it's
Amazon.
exclusively through Amazon because I'm
Oh,
using
okay.
the Amazon Kindle Direct Publishing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it's one of these, you upload it, and then people order it, and then they print it for you. And it goes. So it's kind of like those companies where, you can order a t-shirt or a mug, and you
Okay.
upload the logo, and then they print it out for you and send
Or
in. So
like the old DVD press things, like on-demand press or whatever, like you order a DVD,
exactly.
like video on
Yes,
demand.
exactly. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I still have DVDs and Blu-rays, because
Oh, me too. I collect. I have 4Ks. I have Blu-rays, DVDs. I'm a big collector of film because I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. I don't drink. I live by myself. I love pop culture just as much as you do, my friend. So I'm never ran.
Absolutely. And physical media is still great to have, but my wife will be like, do we have this movie? I can't find it on Netflix or Hulu. And I'm like, here's the DVD,
There you
so
go.
and we still have DVD players and VHS, and
At
so
least you own your stuff, because I mean, nothing against streaming, and that's a whole nother story, but it's like, the whole we could have talked about streaming versus physical media, and boy, I tell you, probably could have pissed some people off and probably would have got some people agreeing with us.
Well, I mean, it is interesting how, and that's, you were talking about trying to find a niche in things, and that's another thing we've got. We've got streaming, so now there's all these streaming networks, and they're hungry for content. They want to keep adding to their libraries. So it's a matter of, it might be easier now to get a show on streaming than it is, any place else. When I was at Walt Disney Studios, I worked there for almost a decade. I had an idea for a movie that I was working with a producer who was working on a different movie at Disney at the time, and we pitched this idea for a movie that the studio loved. They loved it. They said, "We'll get back to you in 2 weeks. We're having a big kind of pitch meeting thing, and then we'll let you know what we think about it." 2 weeks after that, they come back and they say, "Well, here's the thing. We just greenlit another movie with a similar theme with these actors, and we just can't have two of the same movie in the pipeline at the same time. So we're going to have to pass."
Okay.
But try pitching it to ABC Family, try the Disney Channel, because this particular idea was already like a Disney property, but it was telling a prequel backstory to it. And we pitched those places. They didn't want it at the time. So 10 years goes by, and now I'm sitting here on my couch, last year watching, I think it was maybe Book of Boba Fett and then Cruella de Vil and all these, prequel sort of stories. And I thought, oh, we can take this. Why can't we take this idea I had for a movie and now slice it up into 8 or 10 different things and put it on streaming on Disney Plus? So I got back in touch with my old friend who's still at the studio producing, and he's actually in Canada making a Disney movie right now. And we started working on it again, but he got so busy with the pre-production of this movie, so he had to stop. But we're still trying to figure out a way to like get this movie, now turned into a series,
Okay.
So it's about, old ideas can be new again, just now in a different, in a different environment, a different media platform. So I would say definitely don't give up on an idea that you had. And when you have them, stay active on it, because the universe will pluck them away from you if you sit on them for too long, and they will give them to somebody else.
Sure.
So if you think, oh my God, that was my idea, I had that idea, it's because you sat on it for too long and you didn't, man, maybe you just
Yeah.
didn't have the right venue to find it. I'm always struggling to find a production company that, I'm an idea guy. So I have tons of ideas for TV shows, for movies, for Hallmark Lifetime movies, for game shows, reality shows, all these sort of things. And it's like, I have them. I've got boards and things that I've got my ideas put up, but I don't have representation. So, I mean, as much as I might have, I don't have that one person with that connection to a studio or a network or a production
Yeah,
company
me
who can
either.
say, "Hey, let's take your idea. Let's make this a show. Yeah, we can do this." So that's still, that's still something that is something that I'm trying to do as I get older. It becomes harder because, people leave the studios, your connections kind of move on. So, that's for me is what's next in my evolution, is still trying to.
And then being older, it's like people want more young people. They're like, hell with the old people, we want more young people,
That's right. That's right. But you can, if you, bring on a young person to help, co-write the idea or co-produce the idea. So at least,
Yeah.
you have that thing. So, it's always a struggle. It might
Sure.
look easy. You see the channel, you see the videos, but there's still, it takes a lot of work to get there,
Oh,
but
absolutely.
luckily for me, it's work that brings me joy, and certainly something that I've enjoyed, and I think I'll keep on enjoying as long as I've got the opportunities to make people smile and
Well, that sounds exciting, man. You definitely brought this interview a lot of joy. And I'm honored to have you on. I'm very humbled
Thank you.
because I feel like you're one of the big wigs, now that I didn't even know existed. Like I thought, geez, this guy does enough already with his YouTube channels. It's like, holy crap, he's such a whirlwind of pop culture, and I love it. I love every
No,
bit of
thank you. Thank you.
it. So thank you, Steve.
With yeah. So that's all. I think it was oh my God, I can't. It was a book on the author, the writer who was the famous writer, Ray Bradbury. Thank you, Ray Bradbury. I'm thanking myself because I just thought of it. Ray Bradbury used to say, "Creativity surrounds itself with creativity." So that is what I try to do. I try to be able to look around. You can't see behind here, but I've got posters on the wall for Back to the
Sure.
Future, Gremlins, and things. So whenever I need an inspiration, I look around for something that, brings creativity to me by something that gave me creativity when I was younger. So it's just about always surrounding yourself with creativity, and creativity will manifest itself, when needed.
Well, I appreciate it, man. This has been great. I mean, I hope everybody who's watching live or just anybody that watches this on YouTube knows the work that goes into entertainment, because entertainment can be fun, but it can be a lot of work too. But you got to hire a guy like Steve, and he'll be the guy for the job, for anything that's especially when it comes to like nostalgic or cool ideas that have to do with pop culture. Well,
I love
Steve,
it.
thanks
It's
for.
been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having me today,
Oh,
and
it's been
thanks
an
to
honor.
everybody watching. And please feel free to make sure you subscribe to Renegade Radio. If you know anybody else who might be a great candidate for Renegade Radio, drop Sean a line, and let's get it going.
I appreciate that. Well,
All
thanks,
right.
man. Thanks
Hey.
for letting me do this with you.
No
Absolutely.
worries.
All
Thank
right.
you.
We'll talk to you later.
See
Bye-bye.
ya.